Today, we'd like to see the title of Against Syria, Israel, and Ethiopia in the book of Isaiah, chapter 17 and 18. To online worthy people on the earth, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in chapter 17, verse 10 and 11, because you have forgotten the God of your salvation, and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold. Therefore, you will plant pleasant plants and set out foreign seedlings. In the day, you will make your plant to grow, and in the morning, you will make your seed to flourish. But the harvest will be a heap of ruins, in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. What do they mean, and what can we learn from here? Question 2. In chapter 17, verse 14, then behold, at evening tide, trouble, and before the morning, he is no more. This is the portion of those who plunder us, and the lot of those who rob us. And in chapter 18, verse 6, they will be left together for the mountain birds of prey, and for the beasts of the earth. The birds of prey will summer on them, and all the beasts of the earth will winter on them. What was their historical background? Question 3. In chapter 18, verse 7, in that time a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people tall and smooth of skin, and from a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down, whose land the rivers divide, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, to Mount Zion. Which nation will bring the present to the Lord of hosts, and why will the nation do so? Isaiah prophecy was made during 745 up to 695 before Christ, when four kings of Judah reigned. In the light over book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah or Azariah, the ninth king of Judah, 767 up to 740 before Christ, reigning time, Jotham, the 10th king, 740 up to 736, Ahaz, the 11th king, 736 up to 716, and Hezekiah, the 12th king, 716 up to 687, kings of Judah. Today, Isaiah made it the prophecy against Syria, Israel, and Ethiopia. In the last chapter 16, Isaiah made the prophecy in 704 before Christ about Moab's fall in 702 before Christ, and the prophecy in 734 before Christ about Syria's fall in 732 before Christ in this chapter. In 722 before Christ, Israel's fall occurred. Assyria conquered Israel in 722 before Christ. The kings of Assyria were Tiglath-Pileser, Shalmaneser, Sargon, Sennacherib, and Esarhaddon in order. Babylon conquered Judah in 586 before Christ. Persia conquered Babylon 536 before Christ. It notes that this prophecy does not follow in a chronological order, because Syria's fall in this chapter 17 was 30 years earlier than Moab's fall in the last chapter 16. So his writing style had changed dramatically in 30 years. It does not mean a different author than Isaiah. The prophecies often were collected and put together with themes without chronology. So main theme is basically repent your sin, come back to God. Chapter 17, verse 1, the burden against Damascus, the burden or the oracle, spiritual burden coming from God, against Damascus. Damascus is the capital city of Syria. Behold, Damascus will cease or taken away from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. So will be destroyed in 732 before Christ. Verse 2, the cities of Aroer are forsaken. Syrian cities are forsaken. There will be four flocks which lie down, and no one will make them afraid, because most people were carried away captive by Assyrian. So flocks or domestic animals will not fear any man, because no man will be there. Verse 3, the fortress also will cease from Ephraim. Ephraim is, or worse, the major tribe of Israel, the northern kingdom. The kingdom from Damascus, the capital city of Syria, Israel made allies with Syria against Assyria when Assyria invades, not seeking God. And the remnant of Syria, they will be as the glory of the children of Israel. The remnant of Syria and the glory of the children of Israel will cease, will be gone away. Syria and Israel will fall by Assyria, said the Lord of hosts. First of all, in that day, the Israel fall and the Syria fall, that day, it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob, another name, Israel, the Jacob will wane. The glory of Israel will be weakened, and the fatness of his flesh grow lean. The prosperity of Israel will be thin, weakened, or wasted away. Verse 5, it shall be as when the harvester gathers the grain, usually from the bottom to the head. So the head portion implies the last left the few things of the grain, and lifts the heads with his arms. It shall be as he who gathers the heads of grain. Israel is just as he who gathered the last few things of the grain. That means Israel's fall is very close in the valley of Rephaim. That's the valley of northern kingdom Israel. Verse 6, yet gleaning grapes will be left in it, like the shaking of an olive tree, two or three olives at the top of the uppermost bough, taking out from bottom to top. Olive tree also, usually, you know, bottom and a lot of fruit, you know, top is it's hard to reach it, you know, top is a few left. So the last few left grapes are described for Israel's close fall. Four or five in its most fruitful branches, Thus the four or five olive fruits left in its most fruitful branches, said the Lord God of Israel. Verse 7, in that day of Israel's fall, a man will look to his maker, God, and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel, God. Israel regretted so in that day, because he left from God and took a lot of idols. For example, United States will regret so unless we repent our a lot of things against God, such as secularism, paganism, selfishness, materialism, sexual immorality. Unlike pagan gods, our God doesn't attract the great number of people, but seek those whose heart is loyal to God. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, describes the Israel people, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 3 and 17, David the king accounted the numbers of Israel people against God's will. Then Joab, the David's soldier, said to David, "Now may the Lord your God add to the people 100 times more than they are, and may the eyes of my Lord the king," which means the eyes of David the king, "see it. But why does my Lord the king, why does David desire this thing?" Then God gave a punishment to Israel people because of David's accounting numbers. Then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, "Surely I have sinned and I have done wickedly." So God pointed out David's arrogance or pride over the king ruling over a lot of people. But a lot of people added by God, not David. But this is a share. What have they done? Let your hand, God's hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house. David repented. Then God stopped in punishment. So our God's heart is different from pagan God. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, there and here, throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him," those whose heart is loyal to God. "In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have words." This case, Asa, king of Judah, allied with Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, at the time of Israel's invasion, instead of asking the Lord. So Hanani, the prophet or the seer, told Saul to Asa, the king. Then verse 8, "He will not look to the altars." Israel will not look to the altars, the works of his hand. So that is indicated a lot of idols. "He will not respect what his fingers have made." So a lot of temporal things, not eternal things. For example, we might rely upon expensive car, big house, huge bank account for security, rather than trust God for eternal security. Also, nor the wooden images, Ashtoreth, a goddess of fertility, or a sexual goddess. nor the incense altars. So at the time of Israel's fall, they didn't look to the altars, their major material thing at all, because the Israel is close to fall soon. Verse 9, in that day, his strong cities will be as forsaken bough, and an uppermost branch or top branch, which they left because of the children of Israel, and there will be desolation. Israel will be completely destroyed by Assyria in 722 before Christ. Verse 10, because why is Israel's complete fall? You have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold. So you don't care about God. So you forsook God. Therefore, you will plant pleasant plants and set out foreign seedlings, the seed to grow for luck and to die for bad luck in Adonis gardens in pagan practice. So Israel people, a certain foreign seed plant there, that is either growing well, that meaning good luck, or growing bad, bad luck coming, or that kind of day practice, pagan practice. Verse 11, in the day you will make your plant to grow for luck. In the morning you will make your seed to flourish for your prosperity, but the harvest will be a heap of ruins in the day of grief and desperate sorrow, but at end you will be perished. If you rely upon any temporal things for security, at end you will be perished away. If you rely upon any others than God, you will be forsaken. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2. And he went out to meet Asa the king, and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So simply, Israel people forsook God. So God forsook Israel people. At that day, they regret, look to the His make God, also their respect for God. But it's too late. Verse 12 up to 14, God's dealing with Assyria. Word to the multitudes of many people, Assyrians, who make a noise like the roar of the seas, and to the rushing of nations, then make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. Verse 13, the nations, so Assyrians, a lot of nations, Assyrians conquered many countries, a lot of nations will rush like the rushing of many waters, but God will rebuke them. God will destroy Assyrians, and they will flee far away and be chased like the chaff of the mountains before the wind. So how like the chaff of the mountain before the wind? By the wind, the grains drop down on the rock of a mountain by weight, but the chaffers blow away like a rolling thing before the whirlwind, like a tumbleweed. You can see tumbleweed on the highway to Las Vegas area, Overton. Assyria will be destroyed like a tumbleweed by Babylon in 612 before Christ. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, describe is chaff right here. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. So, like the chaff in Assyrians. Then, verse 14, then behold at evening tide trouble, and before the morning he is no more. This is the portion of those who plant us, those who plant Israelites, and a lot of those who rob us, who rob Israelites. Assyria, all soldiers, 185,000 soldiers were killed by the angel of God, because Sennacherib reproaching God. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 14, the Assyria besieged Jerusalem, the capital city of Judah, southern nation. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Then God answered 35, and it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, they were the corpses, all dead. That historical background described chapter 17, verse 14, also chapter 18, verse 6 as well. They will be left together for the mountain birds of prayer. So the corpses will be food for birds. And for the beasts of the earth, also corpses will be food for the wild animal. The birds of prayer will summer on them, and all the beasts of the earth will winter on them. The carcasses as their food during both summer and winter. So that is description here too. So now chapter 18. Woe to the land shadowed with buzzing wings, for a lot of kinds of flies in jungles in Ethiopia. So this land indicating Ethiopia. The land indicates Ethiopia, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Look at map. Ethiopia there, then is northbound is Sudan. Sudan northbound Egypt. So a lot of tributaries divided into northbound toward the Nile rivers. Nile rivers, the longest rivers at 4,180 miles or 6,695 kilometers. So the longest rivers on the earth from Ethiopia through Sudan and to Egypt. Verse 2, which is sent ambassador by sea. Here, sea indicating Nile rivers. not Mediterranean Sea, even in vessels of reed on the waters. So here, Nile rivers, because the Ethiopians did come down the Nile tributaries in those boats made of reed or bulrushes on the waters, saying, "Go swift messengers to a nation tall and smooth of skin. Ethiopian stature is tall, and their skin is smooth or slick. To a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful and trading down, whose land the rivers divide." On Moses' time, Ethiopia was a strong country, whose land the rivers divide, a lot of tributaries into Nile River. That is indicate Ethiopia country. Verse 3, all inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, when he lifts up a banner on the mountains, you see it. Here, when Assyria gets a victory over world, you see it, which meaning Ethiopia sees it. When he blows a trumpet, you hear it. Ethiopia hears it when Assyria gets a victory. Describes the doom of Ethiopia and victory of Assyria. But verses 4 to 7, God's dealing with Assyria. For so the Lord said to me, Isaiah, I will take my rest, my Sabbath, God said. I will look from my dwelling place or from heaven like a clear heat in sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. Assyria like a clear heat in sunshine. Assyria like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. Assyria's temporal victory, not lasting long, described it. Verse 5, for before the harvest, when the bird is perfect, before the bird fully blossoms, and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, not fully ripe grape, so sour grape, not sweet grape, he will both cut off the sprigs, small branches, with pruning hooks, and take away and cut down the branches. So God will destroy Assyrians completely, like both the small branches and the branches with the pruning hooks. Verse 6, they will left, I already explained, 185,000 Assyrians will be killed by the angel of the Lord. So that historical event described. Verse 7, in that time, God's angel slew 185,000 Assyrians. A present will be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people tall and smooth of skin, Ethiopian, and from a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation, a people, and trading down, describe Ethiopia country, whose land the rivers divide. So Nile rivers, the lot of divided rivers over there indicate Ethiopia country. To the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, to Mount of Zion. So to God, Ethiopia bring thanksgiving offering to God in Jerusalem because God's delivery from Assyrians. Then our response, how should we do to God? We should give thanks for all and in all. Because 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we should give God in all things and for all things. Okay, let's just see each question briefly. Question 1, in chapter 17, 10 and 11, because you have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold, therefore you will plant pleasant plants and set out foreign seedlings. In the day you will make your plant to grow, and in the morning you will make your seed to flourish, but the harvest will be a heap of ruins. In the day of grief and desperate sorrow, what do they mean? So Israel people brought a lot of idols to God. They forsook God. So at the time when Israel fall, they regret because they forgotten this one. So, and what can we learn from here? So we should not rely upon any temporal thing, expensive car, you know, any temporal thing, even son, daughter, you know, whatever, everything for security. Because we know that at end, any temporal thing will perish away. But we should trust God for eternal security. That we can learn. Question 2. In chapter 17, verse 14, and in chapter 18, verse 6, I explained that one. God handled himself, Assyrians, so 184,000 soldiers were killed. So last question 3, in chapter 18, verse 7, in that time a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people tall and smooth of skin, and from a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful and trading down, whose land the river divides. This country indicates Ethiopia, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, to Mount Zion in Israel. Which nation will bring to the present to the Lord of hosts? Which nation? Ethiopia. And why will the nation to the soul? Because God handled by himself to destroy enemy Assyrians completely. That's why they give a special thanksgiving to God. So we can learn, we should give thanks to God for all things and in all things. Let's just sing song all together, the last song on bulletin.